That's right. So tonight, Ben is speaking down in Mississippi somewhere at a VBS and part of their thing, and Sean is in Destin, Florida. So they asked me if I'd care to get up and say a few words. I know that Sean is over there. Y'all are studying Romans, I believe. And then out here, Ben is studying idols, and I knew it had sports and money, and I didn't know which one we were getting to over here, so I decided to pass on that. So rather than mess up Ben or to mess up Sean's class over there, I thought I would share with you probably, I guess, my favorite Bible story. And, you know, a lot of times when we study the Bible and we do these things and we read Scripture and things like that, it's easy when you look at parables and study those and you try to put them together. And these parables, as we know, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and we can kind of put all those pieces together. But then there's other stories in the Bible that you read about, and it tells things that happen, and it's as Jesus is passing along, going from place to place and things like that. And you look at them and you think, well, what all do I get out of this? And tonight I'm going to share a story with you. And as Eddie Stedman always says, if the Bible mentions it once, it's important. If it's mentioned three times in there or more than once, it's really important. So you need to pay attention to it. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow along, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 14. And we'll be looking at verses 22 through 33. And this is a story of Jesus walking on the water. And I guess this is one of my favorite stories because it involves Jesus, but also his apostles are there and Peter. And when we look through here, I know we've all looked at this story and probably read it several times. But hopefully tonight, I want to share some things with you that may make you think. And you think, well, maybe I just hadn't hardly looked at it that way. Because I've read through this thing numerous times, and I look at it and I think, okay, this is something which demonstrates the power of Jesus, because it shows he can walk on the water, and it's the power of him calming the storm that's taking place. And then I look at it from times when I look at it and I see the Apostle Peter, and you always hear about, well, you know, he lost his faith and then he began to sink. But tonight I want to share something with you and maybe point out about five different things. And if you like to make notes or write down things, you can when I get there, and I'll let you know at those points. But maybe it'll help us look at this story and see it from just a little bit different perspective. So if you've got your Bibles, let's look in Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, so it'll be just a little bit different than that. But just follow along. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was very contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to him, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, Truly, this is the Son of God. When I look at this story and I read it, it makes me think of several things. I know growing up, and as I've gotten older and past the senior citizen discount today, I can remember watching my grandkids. And a couple years ago, when Will was real small and the girls were playing basketball, Will would be out there and you just couldn't hardly keep him in the seat, because if they were out there playing, that's where he wanted to be. Then the next year, they're playing softball, and it's the same thing. They're out there on the field, and they're playing, and Will's sitting over there and just can't understand why he just can't get out there right in the middle of them. As a matter of fact, one night after the ball game, there's a picture that somebody had taken when the game was over and it all got out there, and Will had got one of them's glove, and he went over there behind home plate, and he squatted down, and he was sitting there all squatted down, and he had that glove just like that. You know, he had watched and observed enough from this playing that's what he wanted to do. And when I seen him do that, it kind of reminded me of myself. Because growing up, my mom and dad really enjoyed going to the Lawrence County High School basketball games. And we would go, and I guess to tell you how old I am, I remember Daddy would let us go in, and he'd hand me a quarter. And that was all I got to spend for the whole night, was that quarter. But that wasn't too bad, because for a quarter, you could get a Coke, popcorn, and a candy bar. So that was what I was able to get with that for the whole night. But also being friends with Garner Ezell's son, who was the coach, you know, you kind of got to be there on the sidelines with the kids. And this would have been at the old E.O. Kaufman Gym, as y'all know it now, but that was Lawrence County High School. And we would get out there on the edge, and if the stray ball came over there, we would fire that thing up, trying to hit a shot from over on the sidelines, you know. And those players wouldn't want to say anything to us because, you know, that's the coach's son and one of his friends over there. But it was that standpoint of, I didn't want to sit and watch. I wanted to play. And fortunate enough, probably 10 or 12 years later, I did get to play in that same gym on the high school team, and that was part of it. And when I read this story, sometimes it makes me think of that, because as I read through here, as a kid, I wanted to play. And if I had the chance to watch or to play, I was going to choose to play. But sometimes it seems that as I get older, or as we get older, it changes. And maybe life changes that I go from the playing field into the stands. But I think this also happens sometimes in church. It seems like a lot of times where we were once young and energetic and we wanted to really be a part and do these things, and we were always active in Bible-rama and these other events, or if it was time that we could serve in public worship, we were all over it. But as we got older, it's like we didn't want to play anymore. We'll be fine back here. Let somebody else do it. And sometimes in my mind, I almost see this in the same story here. And when you look at this story, it's mentioned three times. It's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and John. I like Matthew's version better. And for the next few minutes, I want us to look at this story. And you can remember the stories that I have told you. But let's look at this story and how Matthew breaks it down. In verse 25, it talks about, and Jesus came walking to them on the water. Have you ever tried this? You ever thought how hard it would be to walk on water? You know, there's been several comments made that some football coach would be so good that he could walk on water or something like that. But, you know, we've all tried it. You go straight to the bottom. When you look in this story here and you look at these 12 apostles that are in here, four of them were fishermen. They knew they couldn't walk on the water. They've been around it too long. But Jesus came to them walking on the water. And as he's walking up through there, Peter looks out. And in his vision, he sees someone coming. Look what it says in verse 26. It says, he saw him walking on the sea. And when Peter seen him, it was windy, the waves was boisterous. And it's almost like, you know, most of us have been to the river before or down at the beach, and you look out there so far, and some days it's clear and you can see everything. I can remember as a child going down the river sometimes, and we'd be away from the house, and a storm would sneak up and come up on you, and at least we had enough sense that we couldn't get back through it all, and we'd pull over to the side, and you'd be standing there, and it's like you couldn't hardly see 10, 20 foot in front of you sometimes. It rained so hard. But with Peter's vision, he was looking out, and he could see somebody walking to him on the water. And he asked Jesus if that was him. First thing, what your eyes are fixed upon, your heart will hunger for, and your feet will follow. When I think about Peter, and he sees Jesus out here, he had his eyes fixed on him. So what his eyes are fixed upon, his heart would hunger for, because when he seen him out there, Peter wanted to play. That's where he wanted to go. And his feet will follow. And you know, whether it be spiritually or worldly possessions or anything like that in our life, if we see something we really want and we set our heart on it, we go after it. This weekend when I was walking, I walk probably 3 miles a day. So this weekend I went up Rotary Park. And as most of you know, at Rotary Park this weekend, they had the big tractor pull, and all these people brought these big rigs in and 18-wheelers, and they're all painted up and they're sharp looking and all that stuff. And I was walking around there, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, boy, there's a lot of money invested up here in all this stuff here. So when I was walking around, I came upon this one truck, and I had to take a picture of it, because on the tailgate of this truck, it had this saying, and I told this guy, I said, I need to borrow this because I need to use this in Sunday school class. He said, that's okay. He said, I stole it from somebody else. But on the back of his truck, and it almost fits in with this, is on the back of his tailgate, it says, the distance you wish to achieve is measured by the depth of your wallet. The distance you wish to achieve is measured by the depth of your wallet. And I thought about that, and that seems like so true in today's society, that as much money as we got, that's what we want to do. But that's what we've seen, and that's what our heart hungered for, just like these guys' heart hungered for these tractor pulls. And depending on how much money they had, they just kept going until they could get it. So what your eyes are fixed on, your heart hungers for, and your feet will follow. In verse 28, as Jesus come walking through there, Peter wanted permission. He says, Jesus, I think that's you. And if it is, give me permission. Notice this is not Jesus calling Peter to come see him. He says, but if it is you, give me permission. And Jesus says, come. And when he told him to come, I could not imagine. And I guess like most of y'all, when I read these stories in the Bible, I read in pictures. Because when I read something, I want to get a visual image of what I think is happening. And when Jesus tells Peter to come, I can't imagine how long he might have sat there. Because Peter was a fisherman. He knew he couldn't walk out there. So how long did Peter stay in the boat? How long did he think about it? When Peter got ready to leave the boat, did he get over to the edge and he'd take his foot and start sticking it in to see if it was going to go under? Or was it going to be able to stay on the top? You know, it's hard to picture what he might have thought. But you notice, Peter didn't have to be told twice. Jesus said, come one time, and he got out of the boat. The second thing I want you to notice here is, in order for you to go where God meant for you to be, you've got to take a step. In order for you to go where God meant for you to be, you've got to take a step. A place where belief must become action. A place where your belief must become action. But you know, that's the scary part. The scary part is leaving the stands and going to the field. You know, sometimes in our lives it gets to where that's the scary part. I can't get up in front of nobody because I'm too scared. Or I can't go do this because I'm too afraid. I can't talk to them because I'm too scared. I think Jesus is using Peter here because he wants participant. Peter was willing and wanted to go. Third thing, the hardest step of faith is the first one. It's right in front of you, but you don't have the courage to take it. The hardest step of faith is the first one. It's right in front of you, but you don't have the courage to take it. In verse 29, it tells us that Peter gets out of the boat, onto the water, and he walked on the water to Jesus. It says he walked on the water to Jesus. Now, when he walked on the water, it doesn't tell us how far. It doesn't say if it was 10 foot. It don't say if it was 50 feet. There's no distance there. But he had enough faith to get out of the boat. He saw what he wanted to go to because he was looking at Jesus and his feet was going to get him there. And he walked out there to him. But I do know one thing, that when he walked out there to Jesus, obviously he was closer to Jesus than he was the boat. Because in the verse it says when he started to fall, he reached for Jesus. You know, most of us, when we start getting up to go somewhere and we're starting to fall or whatever, we're reaching back where we came from. So he reaches out for Jesus. He's on top of the water. He starts to fall through, and he reaches out. Fourth thing, just because we're faithful, it does not protect us from failure. Just because we're faithful, it does not protect us from failure. In verse 31, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and called him and said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? When you look at the pictures in the story, have you ever wondered what it might have been like on the trip back to the boat? Did Jesus carry Peter back to the boat? Did he walk along on the water beside of him? What did they talk about? Was Peter still scared? But it says they got back to the boat, and when they did, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. And when they got back to the boat, there's two types of people. You have 11 people sitting there that is dry and safe and comfortable. And you have one person, Peter, who is wet and probably a little embarrassed over what had just happened. But you know, sometimes in our lives, as we go along, we may do things that may embarrass us a little bit. Or we're afraid we may sit around and do nothing, and that way we won't be embarrassed. But you know, Peter got to experience this. Of the others that were sitting in the boat, did any of them ask to go? And when you look at the life that Jesus lived, and you look at the apostles, the 12 people he chose, and of the 12, there's probably three of them that you hear so much more about, which would have been more or less his inner circle as I look at it, of Peter, James, and John. And I guess what makes me think about these when you look at those is those were the players. A lot of the apostles are mentioned in various accounts on other things of Thomas and some of them. But you know, three of them were picked out because they got to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. When he raised Jairus' daughter, they got to go into the house there when he raised the little girl. They wanted to participate. They wanted to play. And when I see this story written here, sometimes I think that's for me. But I also think it's for you. Because I think Jesus wants us to be players in his kingdom. And you know, just as Peter had that choice, we have the same choice. We can choose to worship as a spectator, or we can choose to worship as a participant. In both ways, we honor God. And in various ways, we honor God. But in the long run, which is more fun? Which is more enjoyable? Being a part of something and being involved? How much more you think Peter was excited about with the opportunity that he had to get out of the boat and walk on the water? And when you look at what Jesus does, and you go back to verse 29, what he tells Peter is the same thing he tells every one of us. One word: come. And Peter left the boat knowing that unless he had full faith and full confidence in Jesus, that he would not be able to walk out there to him. But he wanted to play. And I know it in God's kingdom and God, I can't help but believe. And there's so many things that I do not understand. But I do think God wants us to be players. There are so many stories in the Bible that you look at and you read over, and some stories I've read several times, and sometimes I'll read it the next time and it hits me just a little different. And this is one of them, because it's one of those that I do believe that God is showing us his power here because he can control the storm. He is so powerful in showing the apostles that I can walk on the water here in front of all this stuff. But I think there's also other meanings in there that sometimes we overlook and we just don't see. There are several authors that's written several books that I've read before. One of them was entitled Get Out of the Boat, making reference to one guy did and the other 11 sat there. That maybe it's time for us to get out of the boat. But it's just one of those stories that it's one of my favorites, and I just look at it so different sometimes when I read there and admire the courage and that he was willing to do that. And I think God wants us to be players in his kingdom. Any comments? I told you there was five, and there is one more. I think I overlooked it. But in being a player, we also have to realize that no step to Jesus is a small step. No matter how much we can do or how little we can do or what we're allowed to do physically or anything like that, that no step toward Jesus is a small step. Any comments, questions, rebuttals, or anything anybody like to add? Possible.
Who knows?
Okay. Oh, there's so many ways you can play in the kingdom. I mean, you don't have to be up in front of everybody to play. There's people who do stuff behind the scenes that are remarkable. Anyone else? It's hard. We have a lot of distractions.
One message. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're probably going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that pertains to all of us. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord all of us.
Anyone else?
We can rationalize and never get
Well, you know, we don't realize sometimes, to me, the perfect time is now. Because we keep making excuses. When we get older, we'll do this. Or when the kids are gone, we'll do this. And things like that. But
it is when we have enough faith to believe and follow Jesus without seeing those things that they saw back then. So we have to. Reference, you know, is seeing, believing. Is that the only way? We don't see a lot of things.
Sometimes what's hard for us to comprehend, I think, and even myself put into perspective, is, you know, basically these 12 guys didn't even know Jesus for about 3 years. You know, he didn't call them to come do this. They may have heard about him coming and everything, but even reckon how much doubt there was whenever he chose them and said, "Come, follow me," from the very beginning. Brought him. Anything else? First bells are everyone now.